Welcome to the Dynasty Nerds Fantasy Football Podcast, where we discuss dynasty strategy, rankings, and all things NFL. So get ready to geek out on fantasy football with your host, Rich Dotson.
And welcome to the Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Rich Dotson. He's Matt O'Hara.
Hey.
He's Garrett Price.
How's it going?
And he's Jared Wackerly.
Well, hello.
So we're back with our final episode of the rookie class at wide receiver of 2024. It's the best way to say it.
I don't know how much more clear I can make this.
My hat is so all over the place right now, Gavin. Matt's over just making jokes. So, who are we talking about?
It was the timing of that one that was the best.
Yeah, right before we started, as soon as Jared hit record.
Yep.
So here we are, talking receivers.
Being very comedy serious. Is all about timing.
It really is. You're right. You're right.
That's a fair point.
Should be your third job.
I'll pass.
All right. We getting into this?
Are we ready?
I think we're ready to just.
That was it.
I think Rich is like, that's enough banter. I just want to be done talking.
Dude, all right. A lot of people say, cut out the banter. Get right to the good stuff.
That's true. So you're welcome, world.
I'm giving people what they want this one episode. Next week, there'll be banter.
Bruce Banner.
That's what I thought too.
Batman's on the show.
I said more banter. I'm like, yeah, Bruce Banner. Know,
that's Hulk.
That is Hulk, not Batman.
Bruce Wayne. Yeah, Bruce Different Wayne. Bruce.
Wrong Bruce.
Yeah, wrong.
Dang.
Tell him, Scooby.
All right,
I guess we're going to talk about
the Banner's back. Between
Bruce Wayne and Bruce Banner.
The Banner's back. You can't get rid of it.
I mean, Bruce Banner for sure win, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, Batman is one of the more overrated superheroes in the sense of he's not actually super. He's just rich.
Arguably my favorite, though.
I mean, he's the most relatable.
Yes.
Christian Bale.
Other than the fact that he's got rich part. Billions of dollars. Yeah, that really rich.
That Playboy thing.
That butler thing. Yeah. Sets him apart.
I don't see Jeff Bezos is walking around with a Robin.
That's a good point.
That's or in tights.
Anyway, moving on to wide receivers and off of rich people. Troy Franklin, wide receiver, Oregon. 6'1" and 7/8 inches tall. I'm starting off with a bang again.
You're crushing it.
176 pounds, 8¾-inch hands, 31 7/8-inch arm, 77 1/4-inch wingspan. He is 21. Just turned 21 in February. He ran a 4.41 in the 40, an ugly 1.61 10-yard split. He had a 4.31 20-yard shuttle, a 6.93 cone, 124-inch broad jump, 39-inch vertical. Last year at Oregon in 13 games, he had 81 receptions, 1,383 yards, receiving 14 touchdowns. Some odd numbers up top, right?
Yeah.
Some of that stuff just is hard to nail down. How the heck does a guy run a 4.4, have a 1.6 split, have a 6.93 cone, and a 4.31 20-yard shuttle? It makes sense of this, Garrett.
It is weird. Rich was supposed to go first, but him and I were talking about this ahead of time. This was the hardest part I had with Troy Franklin's tape. I watched him play, and I was interested.
Yep.
But I was like, there's something off.
Past tense, huh?
There's something, yes. Yes. There's something off when I watch him. I don't think he's a bad route runner, but I don't think he's a great route runner. I think he's fast, but he doesn't look it. And I can't figure out why, because there's times where he does eventually beat guys down the field, but it doesn't happen right away. Like, I was just kind of confused. So I went and I looked and I was like, I could have swore he had a good combine, but maybe I'm misremembering. And I see the 40 yard and I was like, he ran a good 40. And I was like, I wonder what the 10 yard split was. Worst in the class.
Worst. The worst.
Worst in the class. And that made so much, like, that was the light bulb moment for me when I saw that, because he's not somebody that gets in and out of his breaks quickly. He's not somebody that gets off the line quickly. There's not that quick twitch thing that he has that a lot of other receivers have. It's this long speed. which is not a bad thing. You long speed can still get you, but you want to have that short area, that quick twitch. And I just don't know that he has that. And it shows up on tape because I typically don't go look at the guy's numbers before I watch tape because I want to make that determination myself. What does it look like on field? Does it match up? Does it not match up? And something wasn't making sense to me, which caused me to go look at the numbers. I normally don't do that.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, that changed quite a bit for me. I don't think he's a great contested catch guy. I don't think he's...
I have the same note.
He doesn't play very physical, mm-hmm. and he really can't with that weight. He's a very slender player. And once again, kind of my mini rant that I had at the end of the last episode, he falls right into this category.
I was going to say the same thing. You ended it on last, you know, on the last show, and we're basically picking it up. Same style of player, right?
Yes, he's a guy that is a long speed player that is going to make some big plays at times, but he doesn't have the short area quickness to be effective in the slot, I don't believe.
He doesn't have that. He doesn't have ability to sink his hips and change directions sharply.
Yeah.
Very well either.
So I struggle because I see him consistently as one of those guys being talked about to the Bills at 28 or to the Chiefs at 32 or one of the first guys off the board in the second round. And my score, while it's not horrific, he's only got a 72.2 for me. Whereas most of the guys that he's being talked about are guys that I have 74s and 75s. So I just think I have him a lot lower. And I guess I just don't see it. So I want to hear what you guys think about Troy Franklin because I don't see it. I don't think he's a bad player, but I just don't know that he's going to be consistently effective at the next level.
I agree. I think he's limited. I think the route running, some things look good. I think he can run a good go route. He can run a good post route, a slant, anything. I think he stops pretty well too and turns around and, you know, can do that kind of stuff. So there are elements that he can do well in with what he does, right? Mm-hmm. With, I guess, his physical limitations, we'll call them. I don't even know if they're really
right. It's weird.
It's you don't want to call him physical limitations because the guy's a great athlete. He can burn, but he is more of a long speed guy than this short area guy that you really want. If you're a wide receiver, you got to be able to do both, right? Mm-hmm. And he's kind of one dimensional in the fact that he is mostly a go type of route guy, in my opinion, anyway. He's not a guy that's going to win any like contested catches. You mentioned that. I got the same note there. He's not going to go up and jump and get the ball. So he's a feet on the ground, go route, post route, hit him on a slant. And if he, you know, if there's no one there in front of him, the safety shaded to the other side of the field, if there's a really good wide receiver over there, you might have something. You might have some big plays coming from this guy. And he may make some NFL team very happy. But I think from a fantasy standpoint, he's another one of these guys that you're going to have to really, you're going to have a hard time getting in your lineup on the correct week when it hits. So it's going to be a dice roll. I feel like every time you put Troy Franklin in your lineup, you're going to be hoping, right? That today's the day, right? Mm-hmm. Today's the day. And for me, these are the type of players that I try to stay away from. I do not like those kind of players. I don't like having to hope that a guy is going to do something. I want to be able to rely on him week in, week out.
So I apparently put Troy Franklin way too high on my initial rankings.
But would be in good company. There's a lot of people that like him.
In my tweet, I just want to make sure I had of him as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I had him my 10th overall player, Troy Franklin.
I have him at 13, so it's not like we're crazy far apart.
I was going to say, I don't think
that's... But there's one more player. Like I think, and I told you beforehand when I sent that tweet out, like I had this player multiple times ranked in my... Yeah. Tweet and I deleted one. There's a player we're going to talk about in a little bit.
You think we'll jump him?
I would have higher than him, I think, now. And I think I'd flip Troy Franklin with him. I will say, even though he weighed at 176 at the combine, I read into it going into the combine, he had the flu leading all the way up to it. At his pro day, he actually came in at 184 on his pro day. And I guess
that's pretty good.
I guess he was sick the whole week of the combine. So I actually like Troy Franklin a little bit more, but like the more the things that you talked about kind of stick out some of that tape to me. It does kind of want to make me rehash it. But I'll say, like, I thought he came away as a much better route runner than I thought. Because, again, I thought he was kind of everything you said, like a north, like a speed guy, stretch the field. That's what he was. Take the top off for Oregon. I came away a little bit more impressed with like, oh, he's a much better route runner than I thought he'd come out there. I thought he was pretty good with the ball in his hands as well. And going out there with his field vision and going out there and playing some good yak, I thought that was pretty good. I came away impressed with that.
But he's not going to make anyone miss, right? He's going to win with speed after the catch. That's how he's going to gain separation.
Yeah, I think he's got some suddenness to his game there as well. So I think he like you said, maybe he can just stop at a time. Like he could win there, maybe not.
And that's
certain ways.
I think the only thing he can't do is like a sharp in cutting or sharp out cutting routes. He's never going to be able to do that. Like he just, his body doesn't, it's too, he's too upright. Mm-hmm. First of all,
he's got small hands. He's the shows on tape.
No, I'm just talking about his movement. I don't care about his hands.
That's what I'm talking about.
Smells like cabbage. I just think from a movement standpoint, from like the routes that he'll be able to win at in the NFL, I think those are going to be the hardest ones for him to master. Any sort of in cut, out cut, something that's, but he can stop on a dime and flip his hips around and, you know, face a quarterback. I think he's fine at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he decelerates better than he accelerates.
Yeah.
So I thought, some of my concerns, because I wasn't as concerned about some of the things you guys were talking about, but it all makes sense. I thought his hands weren't that great at times. Like he had more drops than I would love.
He was credited with 9 drops last year.
Yeah. So I looked it up. He had a 10% drop rate.
Yeah. And you know, I don't think he's great in like contested catch scenarios. And obviously he was used in some pretty low percentage passing situations, right? Downfield and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I did see him lose one that he probably should have caught over his shoulder. It would have been a really nice catch, but he just completely, you know, lost track of it over there. And that one is a drop, or maybe that wasn't even a drop. I don't even know if it is his hands. So there are some questions, I think, surrounding his hands. But for the most part, in all the normal catching situations, I didn't see anything that was like, oh, this guy's, he's flubbing.
Doesn't look like he's fighting the football.
Yeah, but I mean, if you saw like him run the gauntlet, like he caught everything into the body. Like it was bad.
Yeah.
Was he the one that was weaving like crazy too? Like 3-4 yards drifting.
It was atrocious. Yeah. So he weaved against the ball, away from the ball on every one. So he slithered
had a little more time to,
and body caught every single one. So I probably
did he throw up right after that?
No.
I definitely have the band, you know, we're gonna talk about him soon. I'll say his name, Jermaine Burton. I don't even care on there.
And I don't even care.
I even think like now it's like, oh man, like depending on where they get drafted, like I might even like Malachi Corley more if he gets drafted in the right spot. So same thing, like Malik Washington. I want to see where Troy Franklin goes and how he's going to be used. You know, like same thing. Like him with the Chargers and Justin Herbert, that'd be fantastic.
He's in this group of guys that are 9 through 13 for me.
Yeah.
That I have to figure out exactly where. Hey,
the problem with the Chargers would be, that seems like who Josh Palmer is. Like, just go straight and catch it. So, like, they already...
But Palmer's gone after this year.
True. True.
I don't know. I have a hard time seeing...
Oregon.
how his game is going to allow him to win at the next level to the point that we are ever going to care about him. He's actually... I think I might be the lowest, actually, out of all of us. I have him as 18th out of... He's 18th just... raw pure nerd score, but like he's in like a group of 7 receivers that are all within like a point and a half of each other that I would call a tier. So I think he really struggles when DBs get their hands on him. Like he gets thrown off his routes pretty easily. I just see him more as a deep threat than anything, and I think those guys are a little easier to find these days than not.
He was pushed around by the defensive back pretty easily. Yeah, I have him too high in my tweet. Now I feel bad for now in the universe.
No, I mean, we all make adjustments and stuff. And look, we, even though we more or less feel very similar, it's very like almost every list I see, he's in the top 5 or like right there after he's at like 6 or 7. Like almost everyone has him really high. And this is just like, maybe this is a Quentin Johnston for us where we're like, everyone else is saying this, but we don't see it.
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes.
Except for me.
You're changing your heart.
Yeah, because you guys are all telling me how bad he is. I'm like, I have to go watch more. Like now I got to go watch more, but I trust like are processed well enough. I'm like, oh, yeah, you guys are probably right.
Yeah, it's he's a weird one for me because it just feels like he's been propped up by the media this entire time. And it just feels like no one has the courage to say, like, wait, maybe he's
what about these not things?
As good as we think.
Yeah.
And I think that happens when you actually sit down and take the time to watch tape. Sometimes things are revealed that if you just watch highlights, if you're just watching clips, if you're just that you won't see. And that was another thing with Troy Franklin. I actually did go watch his highlights after I was done with this tape evaluation because I was like, all right, I want to see the best of the best for Troy Franklin.
That's what I do sometimes. If I don't know if I've failed this guy, if I'm missing something,
the whole highlight tape was either him outrunning someone,
or
a busted coverage. Like that was almost the entire highlight tape, and I was like, I don't love that.
It's worse for me. I was just about to say, well, God, man, your rig can sound really bad. I don't think it was that bad. Like it can't be that. I can't be that far off.
So I don't know. Like I said, he doesn't have an atrocious score for me. He's still above that 72 threshold. I think
I have him at a 73 something.
Okay.
73.3.
I just think everybody talking about him as wide receiver 4, 5, 6, whereas I'm at 11, 12, 13, 14.
Okay. I am a 10. So again, I'm not like crazy far.
Yeah.
No, you're not at all.
All right, good. So then. He's my wide receiver 10.
I think I think I said 12 or something.
Like that. I have, but I think 13.
He's really 11 for sure because I'd 100% bump someone already.
Yeah, have so you're not far off.
Yeah. I just put him there. So next. Hey, Dynasty nerds. It's time to take your Dynasty game to the next level with FFPC's Dynasty Startup Leagues. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just getting started, FFPC has a league for you with entry fees ranging from $100 up to $5,000. Choose from a variety of formats, including Superflex, Best Ball Superflex, Triflex, 1QB, and Standard. With weekly lineups, waivers, trades, head-to-head matchups, and playoffs, FFPC's fully managed leagues provide the ultimate dynasty experience. Most importantly, the leagues are here to stay. FFPC has never had a dynasty league fold. They manage the entire commissioner experience from buy-in management to fulfilling your orphans. FFPC is perfect place to expand your dynasty league portfolio. And here's the best part. As Dynasty Nerds listener, you can get $25 off any entry fee as a new member when you use the promo code NERDS. Head over to myffpc.com now to draft your team, manage your roster, and dominate your league with FFPC. That's myffpc.com. Promo code NERDS for $25 off any entry fee for new members. FFPC, where dynasty dreams become a reality.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, our third and final Xavier of the class. Xavier.
I saw it too. I know, so many.
Xavier Leggett, South Carolina wide receiver, 6'1", 221 pounds, 8 5/8 inch hands, 31 7/8 inch arms, 77 1/4 inch wingspan. He's 23. He just turned 23 in January. He had a 4.39 in the 40, a 1.54 10-yard split, 126-inch broad jump, 40-inch vertical. At his pro day, he benched 24 times, which doesn't surprise me. He's a big guy.
Big boy.
In 12 games last year, he had 71 receptions, 1,255 yards, receiving 7 touchdowns, 9 rush attempts for negative 9 yards. That didn't go well.
Well, Matt, I think you should go first on Xavier Leggett because you came in this house ranting and raving about him and how much you love him. This is another high-end prospect. This is a player you absolutely love.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a – I mean, he's a – if you look at him at his best, right, he's a guy that can go up and get the ball. He has got fantastic hands, probably one of the best my ball mentality type of players out there, go do contested catches on it, any of that kind of stuff. You know, where you – there are times that I saw him on the field where I thought – man, this guy could be another AJ Brown coming into the league. He is that impressive when he does things correctly, right? And he's got fantastic game speed. 6'1", 221 pounds. Big, physical wide receiver,
He looks big. He's broad up.
Like, he looks very broad. Problems with him, I think he struggles a little bit with his release, and his route running needs some work, right? He's raw in those two areas.
I agree.
If he lands in the right situation and improves in those areas that I just talked about, those deficiencies, that's how I would see him being an AJ Brown type of wide receiver. So I don't want it to make it sound like right away he is that guy, but he's got some of the best hands in this class. I think.
I agree. Excellent. I gave him an 8.5.
Yeah. I have an 8.5 there. Contested catch. I think he is the best. Really good body control, really unique ability to just leap up and grab the ball. All those things are great. And he's got more than enough game speed for a guy that's 221 pounds to be able to run a 4.39 is fantastic. But sometimes there's guys that run a 4.39 that don't look like they're running a 4.39. On the field, he can separate and get downfield. He's big and fast. So there's a lot to like.
For Xavier Leggett, 6'1", 221, like, he can move. Like, he is a burner, and he's legit. And, like, when you see him run, like, wow, that's like a big, strong running back is what it looks like out there, because he's so broad in shoulders and chest area. So you're right. Out of all things that I watch, like, I'm not as high on Xavier Leggett as you. Like, I'm not even probably close high. Like, you're coming to AJ Brown just because, for me, it's like I somewhat view him as, and I'll start off with my negatives before going to my positives, I guess, is, like, I feel like he's just a straight linear kind of guy. Like, he's a north-south kind of guy. His routes are just not
his great. Routes aren't great. I'm not
so
gonna,
par for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So, and his routes, for how big he is, for how fast he had a lot of times trouble separating because his routes aren't that
his
great.
His routes aren't great, but when he does get separation,
they don't catch it.
And when you get the ball in his area, he's fine. I mean,
that's the thing. So he doesn't separate great, but you can throw it to him and he'll make the catch.
I mean, and you don't have to be that close to him. Like, he'll go out and get the, like, he said that my ball mentality, like, he has that 100%. He has some strong hands, man. They're really good. I mean, if you set him up, he can get in space, he can tighten up those routes, which, again, what makes me nervous about Leggett and why I have him so much lower than you is, you're right. Like, this is a guy, like, if he works on a lot of this stuff and he gets together, like, he could definitely be a guy, kind of like somebody who we didn't love.
DK Metcalf.
No, but he got drafted by Jacksonville, I believe. Second round. LaVisca Chenault.
He could be LaVisca what we hoped. LaVisca could be.
But, like, he's 20.
I hate that.
He's going to be
20. I just don't even like that name.
I know you don't. That's why I mentioned it. So, he's only has 1 year of production. Every year before that, he didn't do anything whatsoever. He's going to be 24 years old.
Yeah, he's a little bit older.
So,
he just turned 23, so he's going to be 24 eventually, but it's not till like next year.
This will be his age 23 season.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. 23. And he'll be 23 in January. Okay.
He'll be 23.
He just turned 23 in January. So, I apologize.
That's right.
So, 23.2. I was off a little bit. So, my worry for him is, like, for how much, like, for him to really be, like, you mentioned, like, to take this game to the next level, like, I don't know if there's enough time for him to be a really good dynasty asset from that standpoint. I like him as a player. I think he's definitely got some good upside. But for me, like, him being older and what he has to work on, like, and him being one-dimensional.
He came out of nowhere also. I mean,
he did.
Yeah.
80 yards in 2019, 113 in 2020, 63 in 21, 167 last year, 1,255 this year.
Literally out of nowhere.
And you know what?
Literally.
One thing I think he could do, this is another weird thing I saw him doing on tape a lot. Like, I think this would actually, if he just stops doing this, will help his game and definitely help his yak at least, is, like, he, like, jumped, like, every time the ball came for him, he, like, jumped for it. Like, even when he didn't need to. Like, he could have caught the ball, like, somewhat in stride, or at least caught the ball with those strong hands and then made a move. Like,
he did the Garrett Wilson gauntlet.
Definitely because how big he is. But, yeah, like, he's out there, like, frolicking on the field. Like,
I'll have to go back and watch. I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. So
I could have missed it.
Yeah, just look. If you do go back and watch, look at it subtly. Like, he jumps for the ball.
unnecessarily.
I'd probably at that point had two hearts for my eyes.
before I go, Jared, I know you had kind of a little bit of an interesting insight on why it took him a little bit longer to break out.
Well, it was actually from Brett Coleman on Twitter. I saw he put out like a short thread just to give some context as to why Xavier Leggett may be a late breakout. So in high school, he actually played quarterback because he was the best athlete on his team, and he ran the ball from the quarterback position.
Like 1,800 yards, right?
Yeah. And then he gray-shirted, which, if you aren't familiar with that, it's basically like a delayed scholarship. So, like, you come in, you take classes, but you're not actually a part of the team until the next year. And then COVID hit, which obviously was tough, but everyone had to go through that. And then after his sophomore year, they had a coaching change. So that can mean a whole lot of different things. Sure. And, you know, it's tough when you're especially trying to develop.
Especially if you're not a
five-star. And... Yeah. I mean, a lot of those kind of factors weighed into that. And he's been through a lot in his life. He lost both his parents in high school. But everything you read on this guy is like class act. Like, they always use Xavier Leggett as like an example for like new kids coming in to that program. It's like, that's who you want to be like and emulate.
Work your butt off. And
yeah. Just some context that Brett Coleman put out on Twitter, I thought was really good to go over.
And I actually, I heard one of the announcers talking in one of the games. I think it might have been the first game of the season, because that was the only one that was not one of ours from all 22. It was like a YouTube clip, a YouTube cut up, and they were referencing the fact that the light bulb turned on at the end of last year. He returned a punt for a touchdown in a game, and he's like, that's when he credits and, you know, the light kind of coming on for him.
And he had a motorcycle accident in the 2021 in his junior year too, which also hindered his ability to produce and develop. So
that is a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe like then I had assumed, I was like, wow, he didn't do much, and like he's older and he needs all this work. Maybe he hasn't had an opportunity to put the work in. Cause I mean, again, I like the player for what he does well. I think he, like you said, some of the best ball skills in
the class. No doubt.
Like his hands are fantastic. Yeah, I mean, and there's some plays you watch. I mean, he's literally diving for the football, fully extended like Superman, and comes down with the football. Like he's a fun wash there. And instead, my biggest negative is like he's so one dimensional. Like, I feel like by the time you can put a whole game together there, you have like a year, maybe two of him on your dynasty roster. So like,
I get what you're saying with amongst his class, but I feel like he's more like, I feel like Jalen Polk is one dimensional,
right?
Where it's like it's only jump ball. Leggett can do that kind of jump ball contested, but he can also go deep. He can also do things over the middle. You can get some run after the catch. So, like, I get it that he's not, like, a lateral mover.
He's a little bit of a freak show.
But I think he's a little more than just, like, one-dimensional.
Anyway, I'm probably saying it's the wrong way. It's just, I view him as, like, when I think, I'm almost, like, maybe it's the way he looks. In my head, I'm viewing him as, like, a running back, where, like, he's a north-south kind of guy, and that's it. Like, there's
DK
no shake and bake.
Like that.
DK Metcalf's a great comp for a guy like him, actually.
Yeah,
sure.
I like that comp. Like, not as much of a, maybe he is a beefcake. I haven't seen him with a shirt off.
It's 221 pounds. I know. Can guarantee he's got some beefcake to him.
I was down on DK coming out too. So kind of like for some things that hindered him, and DK was able to put it together in the right system. So that's how if he could do what DK did, that path NFL, that's how he wins. That's how he becomes like that one wide receiver 1 year, worth like a high startup pick. That's how he becomes like a good player.
An elite prospect.
And you're right. I should probably use that as something to be optimistic about, because that's a really good comp. So
I think he's got, I mean, honestly, I think he's got better ball skills than a DK Metcalf, who was more of just like a go long or a stop route guy. And I think he's got a little bit more dimension to him. If he figures out how to refine those routes.
And I think that is the biggest thing. And understanding that he wasn't a wide receiver coming out, had to develop that. Maybe there is hopefully still
a little
some development that can be done there. It is harder when you're an older prospect to count on some of those kinds of things.
Sure.
But when you haven't played the position very long, you didn't even play it in high school, it takes some time. And hopefully if he gets with the right coaches, the right system, you know, as much as I find route running very, very important and very, very valuable, I found it fascinating. A couple of years ago, I was listening to Kyle Shanahan, and he was talking about Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, which I think we would both consider both of those guys good route runners. And he was like,
Brandon Ayuk,
especially Brandon Ayuk. Yeah. And he was like, almost all college prospects coming out are terrible route runners. Like, that most of these guys need so much refinement and work. And I was like, you got some pretty decent ones there in your roster. You got two really good receivers. Sure. So it was just an interesting little thought of, as much as I find importance in that, I don't know that coaches always care as much because they believe they can develop that. Now, can they? Sometimes your own hubris gets in the way, and sure, sometimes guys just can't do things very well. But that gives me a little bit of hope as a possibility there. But I'm with you. I have a 74.5, 5'8", to be specific, on him. So really, really solid score. That's
is he in your top five?
He's seven for me.
Okay.
He's seven for me right now. So I have the big three, Adonai Mitchell, Conkey, Xavier Worthy, and then Legette.
He is 75.35.
Okay. So you got him a little bit higher for me.
Yeah, he is my number six guy, but it's between him and Brian Thomas, there's a 0.2 point difference.
Okay.
So 0.2 is only.
What'd you give him for route running?
I think a six, maybe.
I gave him a 5.5.
Let me see.
I gave him a subpar grade and a 5 for release.
Six.
I'm at a 72.9, so it's a little lower, but he's in my top 10 as far as like nerd scores go. He is 10.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I got him in the teens. I got him like around like 13, 14 around there. But he's in that tier of guys that all offer like upside. So like, sure, let's see where he goes and what position he's into. But I said, I mean, that DK Metcalf kind of flipped the switch in mind. I'm like, oh, that's a good
He could honestly be my number five guy by the time we're all done.
I'm really curious about draft capital.
Me too. Him. For sure.
We were talking about that before the show. Like, I could see him being an early second round guy. I can see him being an early fourth round guy.
Yep.
Like, which is drastically changes how you view this player. And totally. So it's, you know, we talk about these tape scores and I find them very important and very helpful, but at the end of the day, they're just a piece of the equation.
They're a piece. And he's a 23-year-old guy. You know what I mean? So who knows how NFL teams are going to view that?
Yep. Some don't care. Some care a lot.
Yeah. Some do care a lot.
Yeah. A lot of teams.
Right.
Like the Browns are one of those teams. They don't draft players that are over.
The Packers are another one. They don't draft old guys.
DK was a couple inches taller, about 10 pounds heavier, and
AJ Brown was almost the exact same size.
A little
size.
More explosive. Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Compton and AJ Brown.
AJ Brown is almost the exact same size. They had real comparable combine measurables as well, as far as the speeds and stuff.
Muy interesante.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey guys, let me tell you about our friends at Sleeper. Guess what? Our app is the mini is live. Woo. On Sleeper right now. The Dynasty GM, pretty. You use the analyzer, that you can use the trade calculator. And my favorite thing is the inbox, right? Where all your trades from all your Sleeper leagues are right there. You can actually push trades through the actual Sleeper app. And right now we couldn't be more excited to be partners with them. And right now, if you don't know, they are doing DFS. And I know how many people that play Dynasty play DFS as well. And right now there's not a better place to play DFS than Sleeper. They're offering up to 100 times your entry, the highest payout in the whole DFS market right now. You can track your fantasy players and your Sleeper picks in real time. All you gotta do is choose 2 to 8 of your favorite players from pregame, live, in-game, or even across different sports. Pick more or less than predicted stats, and only on Sleeper you get up to 100 times your payout. You can share with your friends and get rewarded together. Make sure you use that promo code NERD so our friends know that friends sent them their way. And get your deposit match and friendly. Have a good time. You have all your DFS, all of your fantasy leagues, and now even a Dynasty GM in one spot. It is fully operational inside Sleeper right now. And then when you're a Nerd Herd member, you get that full access to that. And remember, you also want to download the Dynasty Nerds app because they're both in there. Check it out. Check our friend Sleeper. Check out a DFS. Use that promo code NERDS.
Get your whole estate set. All right, next guy up, Jermaine Burton, Alabama wide receiver, 6 foot and 1/4 inch, 196 pounds. 9 7/8 inch hands, 31 inch arms, 74 7/8 inch wingspan. He is 22. He'll be 23 in June. He had a 4.45 in the 40, a 1.53 10 yard split. He had 133 inch broad jump, 38.5 inch vertical last year at Alabama. In 13 games, he had 39 receptions, 798 yards, and 8 touchdowns. That's a 20.5 yard average.
It's some big plays. Are you going or am I going, Rich?
I'll go. Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. This was a player that after I ended up watching his tape, I came away pleasantly surprised. Like, he's a player I was referencing earlier that I put Jermaine Burton ahead of Troy Franklin.
No. Yeah.
He's when I watch him play, he looks like he's a professional wide receiver. That's what it looks like. He is. He does a lot of things pretty good. Mm-hmm. His ball skills, really good. He'll go out there and attack the football. He tracks the ball really well. He's some really good explosiveness is out there. I thought he was somebody that was his route running was good. Didn't run a huge route tree, but when the routes he ran, he ran really good routes.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought he got in and out his break pretty well. I thought he had really good hands coming out of there. Doesn't do anything like he's not going to run routes. Like, he's not going to Mark Cooper. Like, he's not going to be juking. He doesn't have to loose his hips, but he's pretty explosive for his size and his route ability. For me, when I see him, it seems like this is a player. I would like to saw him better with like a better quarterback, like in a better overall offense, and see him play there.
The year before with Bryce Young, I went back to some of that tape.
I didn't see any of that. I felt there was a lot of meat left on the bone with him.
No, I agree. I think between Jermaine Burton and Romaine Wilson,
Wilson.
I'm hungry. Roman Wilson.
We are very different people. If you think of lettuce when you're hungry, we are not the same.
Ding. Taco Bell.
Hey. There's not a whole lot of difference. I don't think between these two players in my eyes.
Which two? I'm sorry.
Roman Wilson.
Roman Wilson. I'm thinking about Taco Bell and lettuce. So.
We got a random Taco Bell delivery this weekend. We weren't awake.
Just on your doorstep?
We weren't awake for it. Somebody DoorDashed it and it went to the wrong house. I woke up on Saturday morning so confused. I was like, I looked at my Ring notification. I'm like, a Ring notification at 3:50 in the morning. I'm like, what the heck?
3:50?
Yes, dude. So I let the dog out the back door and went right to the front door. And there's a big box of Taco Bell sitting there.
What time
did
you wake up?
It had been too long.
Yeah, as much as I love Taco Bell, it has one of the shortest shelf lives of anything.
McDonald's French fries.
Yes. It's like, you better eat in the first 5 minutes or it's ruined.
It was a big box, dude. So whoever that person was is so really sad.
Where are we at?
Anyway.
Romaine Burton.
Jermaine Burton and Roman Wilson obviously turned into Romaine in my brain. I don't see a lot of separation between them as far as skills. They seem to win the same way. They're very crisp route runners. I think maybe Jermaine has a little bit more downfield element to his game, but he's another guy he feels like a Z to me, and he's going to probably be drafted in the range where he starts off as the third wide receiver on a team. But I could see him quickly moving into the number two role in a team because I think he's pretty professional. He's pretty polished.
I think he could be a Z or a slot. I think his route running is good enough and his short area quickness is good enough that he could be either one.
Yeah. I wish he was a little better with the ball in his hands.
A little more yak.
Yeah.
Let me see what I have there.
I thought it was decent. I had a 7.5.
He made some moves. Like, I thought he could make people miss and stuff.
So it's funny because I said that in the first episode. I was like, Wilson reminds me of someone else in this class that we'll talk about later. And it was Burton.
Okay.
So it's funny that you said that. I think they are similar players. I just think Burton does everything a little bit better than Wilson. Like all of the nuance to his game, I think he's a little quicker on the field. Even if the times don't show it, it seems like he like separates a little bit, like all of that stuff. But the one thing that really tipped it over the top for me that I talked to Jared about it and I just fell in love with this aspect of his game in situations where the play broke down and with their quarterback, more of an athlete, plays broke down a lot and he extended the play. He was excellent at the scramble drill.
Yeah.
He was excellent at finding the dead spot. if it was a short route, going long and getting open. If it was a long route, coming back to the football, showing his number. Like, he just always figured out a way to make himself available to the quarterback. And that is an awesome trait to have in today's NFL, because there are so much more off script things that happen in the NFL now than have ever happened before in years past. So many more of these quarterbacks are athletes. So many of them are wanting to extend plays. And now we're adding guys like Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams into the league. So there's going to even be more guys like that, that are just going to try to extend the play, try to find an open guy. And he's somebody that just seems to have a real natural knack for doing that and getting open. And that was one of those things that really kind of catapulted him. So for me, I ended up having him higher than I expected to, because going into it, I was like, I don't know. Like, we'll see. I've seen him on TV. I've thought he was okay, but he came away as my wide receiver 8 in the class. So I was very pleasantly surprised with how much I enjoyed his tape. And yeah, I think I'm going to have a lot of Burton shares, because I think I am a little above consensus on him, but there was nothing in his profile that scared me. And there were a lot of things that I really liked.
And he's a good player. I think he's a solid addition to anyone's team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, for sure.
But not like a spectacular.
No, I have him at a 74.18. Okay. So it's not like a crazy high score, but it's a very, very solid score.
Yeah, you have him a little bit high. I have it like dead at a 73.
Okay.
So we're not too far off, but you do have him higher. Yeah. And I think that's probably reflects where I have. He's in that group of guys that I've talked about a couple times.
Sure, and he kind of ascended above that
for me. And he's just above that for you. So he could land anywhere within there still. So I think 9 is within his grasp.
He's one of those players that comes off where when you watch him play, like he looks like a really safe player.
Yeah.
But you, a lot of times you say that in a negative way, like, okay, he's a really safe player because this is what you get, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to be great, but he's not going to be bad. Where I think Jermaine Burton kind of offers a little bit of that tease of like, oh, yeah, this like could actually ascend and be a little bit better. So that's the kind of player where why I want to put him ahead of Troy Franklin, where a lot of these guys are like upside or a lot of risk. Like, you get with Jermaine Burton, you get the kind of safety net with that upside. So
I like that. I hadn't thought about
bump him
way
there and put him at right around like 10.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but I think that's a really good way to phrase that, because he does everything well enough that I don't see him collapsing, but he does offer some things that like that could tear up if everything were to go the right way.
And nothing the right offense.
And that's what when I figure out that 9 through 14 tier that I have there, it's mm-hmm. going to be likely between Jermaine Burton and romaine lettuce for the 9-10 spot, and I'm just gonna have to watch those guys kind of back to back to figure it out.
Yeah. And kinda, anyone chime in on there, Jared?
Yeah, I like Burton a lot. Like you said, I mean, he was good across the board, and then really good in some key categories that I like. With hands, I thought he had really good hands. He was a really good route runner. Like, he was up there with some of the best in the class.
Boundary awareness. I thought he did really well around the end zone. Or I mean, around the
just really polished, like a pro receiver. Like, he's ready to go to the league and produce. And I think he would be best out of the slot, actually, if he were to. But I think he can play on the outside too, which we saw in college. He's right there with like wide receiver 6. He's behind Ladd for me. He's in the tier. He's with Ladd, Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas, and then I think Keon Coleman. Yeah, I have him as 6th. I mean, it was in terms of like raw score right now.
Nice. Jermaine Burton, Alabama.
Getting some love.
Fumble your boards. And you're going to give Jermaine Burton mid-2nd.
Yeah.
Easily.
Right. I mean, you got to weigh out the cost too, right? Like, you're not just going to reach on a guy.
No. He's another one where could he be early 2nd-round pick? Sure. Could it be an early 4th-round pick? Sure. Like, with so many good receivers in this class, it's really hard to know on some of these.
Yeah, it is, and it's hard to know if guys are getting or when guys fall, if they fell because there's just so many wide receivers,
right?
Or if it's because there's a red flag, or if it's because, you know what I mean? Like, it's
true. It'll give us clarity, and it won't at the same time.
Really, say the rush. Like, Jermaine Burton goes to the Eagles in the 3rd. Say that the Eagles take him in the 3rd round or 4th round. Like, that's where it goes. they take him in the third. You're like, oh, dude, he's on the Eagles though. Like they just extend. Devontae Smith. They have AJ Brown. Like he's going to help the Eagles, but there's going to be no opportunity there. Right. So that can also happen to a player like him or anybody else in this class. We like Xavier Legette. You know, like we don't have that. He's offset AJ Brown. So nice player. Nice bumping on. And he's one of these guys that if you watch the tape, you come away. Oh, surprise.
Yeah.
Like, because pleasantly, because like, now I have another player that I want to draft. Like, not that, like, if he comes to me, like, oh, this is a player I want to get. You'll kind of go back to last episode when you walk away, like, I got this player, and Ricky Pearce, little baby. You're like, wow, that's a good draft.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, moving on to somebody that would be a bad draft. Cornelius Johnson, wide receiver, Michigan. 6'2 and 3/4 inch tall.
Tallness.
These guys sometimes throw me off. 212 pounds, 8 5/8 inch hands, 31 7/8 inch arms, 77 1/4 inch wingspan. He's 23. He'll be 24 in November. He ran a 4.44. He had a 1.55. 10-yard split, 127-inch broad jump, 37-inch vertical.
I feel like 8 5/8 hands are small for being somebody like 6'3", 212.
In 15 games last year, he had 47 receptions, 604 yards receiving, and one touchdown. He had three rush attempts for 40 yards. Guys?
I know you're going to go over the stats. Forgot about that. Yeah. Sorry.
Guys, is there anything here?
I don't think there's much.
He rounds his routes. I feel like he looks like a runaway freight train at times because he just can't change directions. He's out of control. He's like literally flailing his arms.
I thought he was good in the contested catch.
I would agree with that. I think he was one of those ones where with all these guys that we want to watch and whatnot, I only got two games on him because I felt like I had a pretty good grasp. I'll get to four to get a score on him, but it was one of those ones where after two games, I was like...
Yeah, because he had a contested catch because he couldn't get separation.
Listen, I saw him make a couple of nice diving catches back.
I don't think his hands are terrible.
Was thrown. He's just not going to be anything in the NFL.
Cornelius.
He's just not. I mean, he's never going to be a fantasy factor. He's got so far to come in so many areas, and I just don't think he has the athleticism to be a wide receiver in the NFL.
Well, if you think Cornelius Johnson from Michigan's bad, wait till you hear about the next guy.
Wait, did you go out of order?
Nope.
I switched it, and then they're like, oh, don't switch it. So if you're looking at the list, that's why.
Oh, okay.
So we're doing him last.
We got two more guys left, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
The last one's the best one.
The last one's the best one.
For sure.
I moved him up, but I know your guys' sheet stayed the same.
My sheet stayed the same.
Yeah. So yeah. I had a feeling that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I have Jalen Coker next.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jalen Coker. Wide receiver, Holy Cross, 6'1 3/8 inches.
Holy Cross.
208, 9 7/8 inch hands, 32 7/8 inch arms, 76 3/4 inch wingspan. He's 21. He'll be 22 in June. He ran a 4.57 in the 40, a 10-yard split of 1.52. He had a 128-inch broad jump, 42 1/2 inch vertical last year at Holy Cross. In 11 games, he had 59 receptions, 1,040 yards, 15 touchdowns, two rush attempts for 3 yards.
Yeah, Jalen Coker doesn't do anything after the catch. His 40 time, I'm surprised it wasn't a 4.8 because it's kind of like he runs on field at times. I thought he had good hands. I thought that was pretty good about him. I thought he tracked the ball well. I thought he was a decent route runner for what he is.
He's really stiff, good, though.
He's a former basketball player, so he kind of shows he can go up and get the football. But
so raw.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not... He's not quick enough to
he's
play receiver.
If and this is the hugest of ifs, he did end up getting onto an NFL team, he would never make a roster. He'd be on the practice squad. Give me a break, man. This guy is terrible.
Yeah, it was funny like watching him in his routes. That's like the meanest I think you've ever been.
It's tax season.
It is. He's like, wrap it up.
You're like, talking about Cornelius Johnson now, Jalen Coker.
You're making me do these back to back.
Look, I watched the one tape that we have of this guy, and I was like, I'm not even searching for more.
It was funny watching him.
I'm not even looking for more. I'm not doing anything else. That's it. He's terrible.
It was funny watching his routes because like his lower half would move, but it felt like his upper half never moved. Like his upper half stayed the same, no matter, like, I don't know. It was just a weird thing that I kept noticing, and then I couldn't unnotice it. And I just, it, like, he was so stiff. Like, his feet would go side to side, but his top, like, never moved.
It's like one of those Russian dolls where it's, like, on top of a spear. So
I don't know that Russian doll. I know the ones that go inside of each other.
That's what I was thinking of.
The Russian doll's on a spear? Child's toys on a spear.
Spear.
Oh, a spear.
Spear.
That makes more sense.
That does make more sense. I thought he said spear, too.
Hey, look at this cute doll. Ah, you're stabbed. All right, let's get to the last guy because he is interesting.
He is. Javon Baker, wide receiver, UCF. UCF. Central Florida. 6'1" 202 pounds, 9 5/8 inch hands, 32 1/4 inch arms, 78 1/4 inch wingspan. He's 22 years old, just turned 22 in February. He ran a 4.54 in the 40, a 1.58 in the 10-yard split. He had 121-inch broad jump, 37-inch vertical. Last year in 13 games, he had 52 receptions, 1,139 yards, and 7 touchdowns.
This felt like the opposite of when I watched Keon Coleman, where the first game I watched of Keon Coleman, I was like, oh my gosh, it was the LSU game. He looked so good. Felt like the first game I watched of Javon Baker, I was like, why is he getting so much hype? I think it was the Baylor game. And I was like, I don't know. But it's once again shows why we watch multiple games, because after that, some of his other games, I was like, oh, like his Oklahoma State game was pretty good. His Oklahoma game was pretty good. Like,
I started with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, this guy got a little something.
Yeah, the Baylor game, like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't tell if he was injured or what, because, like, he just didn't look very explosive. He looked like more elusive in the other tape. So overall, I ended up being fairly pleased with him. He didn't get an amazing score for me. He got a 71.28, so it is below that 72 threshold.
71.275.
Wow. That's crazy. All of that to say, I don't think he's a bad player. He's a transfer from Alabama, went to UCF, but he does. He profiles in the similar profile that we've been talking about all two shows, it seems like, yep. Where he is more of a Z type. He's mm-hmm. going to be a field stretcher. I think he's got decent hands. You see some concentration drops at times, but then you see him pluck the ball or dive for the ball and make some nice catches. So a little inconsistent, but they seem to be more focus drops more so than a deficiency of some sort. I think his contested catch is solid. He's got good body control, and he can track the ball pretty well. None of his like quickness, speed, like it's all fine, but nothing amazing. He just feels like a prototypical number 3, number 4 receiver on an NFL team that I think is going to be a solid NFL player, and I think there'll be times where he makes some big plays, but I just don't see him in that tier with some of those other guys that I think are going to have a chance to actually be difference makers.
I feel like you literally read my...
I know. We must have been looking at a lot of stuff.
Oh, really?
I think you said everything that I have on air besides like my one thing I ended with the question. My question was like, will he be able to separate at the next level? That's my biggest concern with him. But like all my pros and all my negatives, you literally say exactly that's hilarious. What I've written down almost word for word.
I read your notes ahead of time. I was
the one thing I'll add there about the contested catch stuff. I saw him do some good things, but I also saw him like kind of pushing off and getting a little handsy with defensive backs. Something he'll have to probably clean up at the next level, because he will get called for some of the stuff I saw.
I think I saw he did get called twice in one game. Called for that
on offensive pass interference.
Yeah, versus like it was like I think versus like Arizona or something.
I mean, I didn't see that note, but I saw it on film.
I saw a note like something about his hands, because I didn't pay attention much to like how hands he got like full extent. I read and said he got fully extended a couple times, and like he got called for it twice in one game, and I think it was versus like
I literally wrote there. You know, he needs to hone that a bit, and he can't extend his arms all the way. Because you could see it, he was all the way pushing off the defensive back. So there's some stuff there,
definitely.
And I think if he hones maybe his route running a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, he could be a guy that could do some things. But if he doesn't, there's nothing there.
That's why he doesn't improve.
But he's a fourth, fifth round draft pick, yes. right? Yeah. Like that's yes. how I see him for my fantasy drafts. He's not. I'm not going to take him any higher than that.
When Garrett said, like, I went to this tape the same way where he's been, like, he's a name on Twitter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people are like, oh, Javon Baker. People are sleeping on Javon Baker. So, when this tape, I went into it, like, excited. I'm like, oh, okay, I can't. Another yeah. little sleeper. Like, he's my, like, it's a Jermaine Burton, right? Because I'd watched Jermaine Burton earlier okay. than him, and I was like, oh, so it's going to be another one. After watching
another Bama boy.
The two bad guys before that, you know, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence out there.
bad boy.
So, I came away somewhat, like, where again, I agree with him on the positive. Like he does a lot of things nice, but like at the same time, I came away at the same like he was bad. He was decent. He's on my board. He's in the like the mid teens for me at wide receiver in this class, which again is not terrible because the class is so deep. But at the same time, I came away disappointed because like I don't see anything special here whatsoever. I don't see like a really good dynasty asset, a player if I end up getting some shares, he'll be on my roster. Maybe I'll spot start when he's in a good position here and there, and I can kind of see him do okay. But I don't love the player. Right. By Carol, any means.
Who's your guy from the Giants? Who
Darius Slayton?
Darius Slayton.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of see him. Like,
can't cut him. You can't start him here and there.
Yeah. He's good enough to be on your roster, and occasionally he'll perform well mm-hmm. enough that yeah. you know that he'll do cuttable. Something. Yeah, that he's not cuttable.
Hollywood Higgins back in the day. It reminds me of the day where he just retired. But
Josh Reynolds.
Yeah.
Josh Reynolds.
Josh Reynolds. Josh
Reynolds. Come on, guy. You got Christian Kirksey, the other guy.
Get a spot start like. Couple times a year.
Yeah. I mean, that is how I see Javon Baker.
Yeah, me too.
Those are all great comps.
I got a 71.9 for him, so he's like right on the cusp. But guy I'll take a shot on late in drafts for sure.
Yeah, he's got enough size. He's got enough skill that could something end up being there? Sure, it could.
If he was like a little more explosive, like he would be up there, dude. Like
he would because
I can see consistent separation.
Yeah.
Bingo.
And that's where it is. Like if I can't. And that's my biggest concern is like, how does this dude win at the next level? Like, how does he get that separation? That's my biggest concern. So
and that's the weird part is it seemed like he didn't get good separation, although I didn't hate its routes and his speed's decent. So it was weird that he never seemed to really get separation.
He's got some swagger to him. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
His movement skills, like he understands like what, he's not a bad route runner. He just lacks the explosiveness that you need.
I think we're all on the same page. Like he's a fine player. We undraft him. Same kind of earlier. Like, oh, he's there in the fourth round. Like, oh yeah, I'll take him. Yep. Javon Baker in the fourth. Like, but mid third. Like, no thanks. Like, I'm grabbing running backs there. I'm grabbing. You know, that's where other people are like excited because they see his name on Twitter, like Javon Baker, and they don't really know what running back. And like, I'd rather just have a running back too. Mm-hmm. We know he's a running back too. But like, oh, but he's got good tape, good enough tape.
Take a shot on one of those tight ends or something.
Ray Davis easily falls in that category for me. Sure. You know, some of those lines.
Come back and cross your fingers.
Yeah, same thing. Or even like a Guarendo. You know, like so right. This guy's pretty explosive. Well, like he's the number two at least on that roster. I'll take him.
Or even a quarterback where it's like, yeah, he might
Spencer
get a shot.
Rattler.
Spencer Rattler would be very interesting there. You know, guys like that where you at least know when to play them. Like. And I think that's the hard part about a lot of these guys. Like, I'm going to have no idea when to play these guys. No clue.
Yeah.
And I'm going to not pick the right 2 or 3 weeks.
60% of the time, you're wrong every time.
That's right.
That's why you should just get Marvin Harrison Jr. instead.
Hey-o.
So we'll be back next week. Remember, the tight end episode will be on a Nerd Herd feed, but we will also put that out in the universe just on Brock Bowers. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do our overall rankings, how we combine them, who's the highest, who's the lowest on each player, followed by a mock draft, Superflex Tight End Premium, and then it'll be draft weekend. And make sure you follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all those where you can find Dynasty Nerds, because we are going to set up we're going to bring a camera set up. We're all going to a cabin and retreat for the entire NFL draft
Darkness
for
retreat.
Our annual Dynasty Nerds meeting. So we're going to be pumping out content there. It'll be quick videos on Twitter and all our socials.
We invited Aaron Rodgers?
Yes. Darkness Retreat with Aaron Rodgers and the Dynasty Nerds.
Sounds like I'm bringing mushrooms, boys. So make sure you follow us all there. You can follow us on our own personal socials. I can't wait for the NFL draft. So we'll be next week's lean right up to it.
Can't wait, man.
And remember, our podcast after the NFL draft comes out on that Monday. So if you have your rookie drafts on Monday, we're going to do a start. We're going to do a rookie mock draft Sunday
night
and get out right away for all Monday. Of you guys. So
yeah, boy.
We'll be back next week with our final rookie shows.
Adios.